Well, hello, hello, friends. Welcome to the Not Your Child Road Safety Show, a show dedicated to road safety, sprinkled with entrepreneurship, with a hospitality cherry on top. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm your host, Julia Matthews, aka the Breathalyzer Girl, and owner of Not Your Child Corp, a Canadian company dedicated to, you guessed it, road safety. Check us out when you have a chance at notyourchild.com. Now, as usual, we'll start off our lovely day today with a couple feel-good songs to keep you company behind the wheel. And then we head right into our discussion section, move right back into some more feel-good music, and finally, as all good things come to an end, we close with our quote of the day. So what do you say? Stick around with me for a great show? Well, buckle up your seatbelts and let's dive into the Not Your Child Road Safety Show. friends. Remember last week we had a spirited conversation with Mr. Ward Vanlar from TURF, the COO of TURF. Remember TURF, Traffic Injury Research Foundation. And what a great conversation we had last week. And to finish it all up, he's back. So stay tuned.
Oh, tell you what it is. There's two things. There's one with the younger crowd and some young-minded people that the invincibility thing, like they think that they're invincible. Oh, no, I'm fine. And I've heard this, like they've actually said it, come to my booth. And actually after talking, it slips out that, oh, you know, but, you know, even if you're over a little bit, like, it, you know, I still know I can drive. I still feel like I can drive. And I say, listen, you might live, but the other person might not.
Yeah.
And you might live. Look how strong you're. And this is what I say to them to get them. And I probably shouldn't be giving away my secrets, but I say, look at how mobile you are. And look how strong you are. And look how strong you look. Can you imagine if you lived with only being able to turn your head from left to right? Can you imagine yeah. that? And then that kind of scares them. I don't mean to scare them, but it's a reality. And then I say, or you might live and the other car might not. Could you live with knowing that you killed a whole family of three? Could you live with that? And then they stop. And I say, exactly. You might be invincible. You might be invincible. But the other person has said, and also think about this. Think about this. You might be invincible. You don't know if the other person was drinking. You don't know. So when I drive thinking that not everybody is sober. I drive thinking that not everybody's car is intact, right? So if someone's going very, very slow on the left lane, I'll move over to the next lane and pass them if I have to, because I don't know why he's driving that way. Maybe his car is falling apart and he knows it and he's driving somewhere else, right? And even though he shouldn't be in the left lane, granted, right? But there are certain behaviors that, and when you tell them that, it's like you wreak a dawn on them. They're like, oh yeah, that's right, that's true. So yeah, don't assume that the person driving next to you is sober. Don't assume that the person driving next to you has a car that's working well, or they have proper reflexes, right? Yeah. Or they're not on medication. So that's one thing that I found has been very effective. When I say that to them, they buy breathalyzers.
Yeah.
They think about it. But another thing too is when they feel like because they're sober, they came over and they blew zero. They're like, woohoo, yeah, you know, like, yeah, I'm fine. I say, yeah, but don't celebrate so quickly, because not because you're marking zero, if you are 0.001, way below, if you are found to be driving recklessly enough for police to pull you over, you will still get charged. And they're like, yeah. How? I say, yeah, impaired to any degree. That means that if you have even cough syrup in your system, or if you have even over-the-counter medication in your system, if you feel now that, oh, I'm at a 0.001, I can joyride and I can drive and cross, you know, solid lines, and you get pulled over, you can still be charged because you have a degree inside of you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them don't know that. So it's good to always tell them that, because sometimes when they feel like they blow very, very low, right, Mr. Valnar, they feel like, oh, you know, it's, I can joyride, right? Yeah. You have to basically disabuse their minds of that. And you can tell, right? You can tell. So it's.
Well, the education is really, really key, I think, because every year we have thousands and thousands of new drivers
right.
who all have to go through this same learning curve that we all have gone through.
Yeah, right.
It's been suggested that there's evolutionary reasons why young people are willing to take risks that older people wouldn't take anymore. And the simple reasoning behind it is that, you know, when you're young and you're leaving your parents and you have to go out in the world, you need to be willing to take some risks to be able to find your way. And that was even more pronounced, you know, thousands or hundreds of thousands of years ago. So there's this evolutionary idea that, you know, that's one of the reasons why young people are willing to take more risks than older people. And so that can be advantageous. But of course, when you start doing that in an environment that's only been created in like the last 100 years or so, with speeds that are much higher than they have ever been, right? Like fast driving cars and motorcycles and with kinetic energies that are being produced when cars crash that are much higher than, you could ever have imagined hundreds of years ago, well, then of course that requires a little bit of a different approach. And I think that's why education is so important. That's why, for example, graduated driver licensing is so important, where you create a safer environment where teens or teen drivers or new drivers get the opportunity to gradually learn, you know, without having to take these big risks. You know, you let them learn in different stages, take away some of the risk elements that we know from research is really affecting young drivers' crash risk. And so instead of giving them a full driver's license right away, you only give that to them once they've gone through a bit of a learning curve. So yeah, I think the education, continued education, is really important.
Yes, it is. It is. And I noticed that too. That's why I started the Friday Fun Facts, because just to dispel myths, I don't know if you have seen it, but every Friday we have a Friday Fun Facts, like a short video where we dispel the myths of what people think, like drinking coffee, drinking milk, all of that, right? Of everything, everything. Now, what I really need to tell people about is your blog that you have, research on distracted driving and school buses, roundabouts. It's a turf.ca/blog/back to school. I really like that. You know, people should really check that out. Listeners, if you're listening, I know you're listening. Turf.ca, turf.ca/blog/back/to/school. Please listen to it, because the other day, listeners, I was driving and there is a man who was attempting to pass a school bus after it has stopped, right? I mean, it was, you know, bless him. Luckily, he stopped and pulled back. But the school bus stopped. The stop sign was just about to come out, and he was trying to pass the school bus, right? So go back to looking. You know, it's never, I know you know these things, it's never ever too late to just refresh, you know, refresh. Sometimes people get distracted, you know, while they're driving, but look out for the school bus, look out for the little ones, look out for everyone. And remember to give the bikes, even if the bikes are misbehaving, give them a car space. Treat them as if they're an actual car, right? Don't mind the way they're riding. Some of them weave through traffic, or they try to cut in front because they think that is that's the benefit of having a bike. Regardless, you treat them the way they're supposed to be treated and give them a car space. Don't be wrong. That's what I say. Do you have anything to say about that, Mr. Werner?
Yes. Thank you for promoting the blog. Our blog series, it's one of our initiatives to kind of translate the more academic research into a more accessible format, so that the public at large can actually also benefit from that knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so the one that we just recently did on back to school with the roundabouts and all the other things, it's kind of a bit of a synthesis or a summary, if you want, of the different blogs that we've done over the past little while, with elements that are relevant for the time period that we're in right now, where we're going back to school. And we really hope that we can reach a large audience with that blog, because it's obviously, you know, it's
very informative and easy to read.
And it's a time of year when, you know, we've been away on holidays perhaps for a while, and we may not be used to anymore to sharing the road, especially when kids are going back to school. So I think it's very informative from that perspective.
Exactly, exactly. It is. And later on, I'm going to ask you to share your social handles so that our followers can follow you and check it out. But tell us, how do you work with the criminal justice professionals and the health care professionals? How does TURF do that? Like, how do they collaborate?
Well, we have different projects in which we provide technical assistance. So what we do is, you know, we would go to a particular jurisdiction, whether it be in Canada or the United States or even internationally. We kind of look at, you know, what is the need? What do they want to accomplish, and what do they need to accomplish that? So It might start from a particular problem that they're facing, but it might also just start from a particular opportunity. It doesn't necessarily have to be a problem before we can actually collaborate with different professionals. Sometimes, there's funding to do something because there's an opportunity. So then, the first thing we would do is, we would listen to the different stakeholders involved, the different actors who have an important role to play, and have something to contribute. And we would just listen to them, like, what is your perspective on this, and what do you see as possible opportunities to move forward? What are some of the obstacles? And once we have had an opportunity to kind of learn from them, what we do then is we pull together all of the research that's relevant about these different topics or problems or opportunities, and we present different options to them. And so we would never really say, oh, okay, so now we've identified the problem, now you must do this. We don't really work like that. Because there's never really one solution in road safety, right? It's so complicated, so complex. So there might be different alternatives that could be adopted, and each of them would have their advantages and their disadvantages. So we would present those alternatives to the different professionals that we work with, and then work with them through these alternatives to ultimately decide what's going to be the thing that's going to work best for you guys.
Understood. I think that's fantastic. So TURF, friends, TURF accepts charitable, corporate, and personal donations to make all the work possible that you see that they're doing, the wonderful work that they're doing to keep us and your loved ones safe. So, Mr. Vonar, can you tell our listeners, please, how they may support your great organization and where they can find you on social media so that they can, follow?
Yeah, certainly. So if you go to our website, turf.ca, through Canada Helps, you can basically make donations. And all of those donations are basically going to real projects or providing support in response, for example, to citizens who reach out to us and for which we don't necessarily have dedicated funding because we don't have core funding. We have to go out each year and secure funding to do projects. So the funding that we receive through donations can be used very poignantly for that purpose, basically.
And what about on social media? Are you guys active on, I know you're on LinkedIn. Are you active on Instagram, Facebook?
So we are very active on LinkedIn and on Instagram. We used to be quite active on Twitter as well, but that's changed now, right? So
And friends, it's time for a little break. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Michael Pincus. I'm known as the Grape Guy, and I wear many hats. I write the Winery Spotlight blog for Not Your Child. I produce this radio show, but what I mostly do is drink wine and write down my thoughts and reviews on my website, michaelpincuswinereview.com. I think what Julia and Not Your Child is doing is amazing, and what her company provides is so worthwhile. It's not about not drinking. It's about watching what you drink and being accountable. And check out my website at michaelpincuswinereview.com to see what you should be drinking. Cheers.
Stop the way they are. director of public relations.
Or a 299.
Is available only at the FQM.
Turn. There's no other.
Okay.
Tell us your pet peeve on the road. What do you see cars, bikers, or any user of the road do that really annoys you? Tell us. We want to know.
It's a really good question because with me coming from, I was born and raised in Belgium. So when I moved to Canada, and actually I wrote a blog about that, that I would people encourage to go and read as well. It's obviously in the same spot as the other blog that you had mentioned earlier about going back to school. And so there are certain things that were very different for me, very new when I came to Canada. But one of the things that stand out, I guess, is that to me, it almost appeared that drivers in Canada didn't know how to merge.
Right. It's true.
Yeah, where, you know, it was very foreign to me that people would actually stop at the end of a merging lane.
Right.
I had never seen that before, to the point where I would almost rear-end someone in front of me in a merging lane because that person, instead of accelerating and merging, came to.
Right.
So that's certainly something that I had to get used to.
That's true. That is true. And that is annoying for me too. And when they're merging and they're not going fast enough to keep up with the flow of traffic, that could be dangerous too, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. It's really like dangerous. When you're in the merging lane, the expectation is that you will accelerate to make it possible to merge. Then, of course, the people who are already on the highway that you're merging into, the expectation vis-a-vis them is also that they would slow down a little bit so they can let you merge.
And right.
I think sometimes there's a bit of a disconnect where the people who are already in the lane may perhaps accelerate instead of decelerate. And then that creates this dubious situation for the people who want to merge, who then come to a full stop instead of accelerate. So it was certainly a weird situation for me that I wasn't really used to. That I think in the 20 or so years that I've been in Canada now, I still see it. It hasn't
it hasn't changed. It's true. And you know what else I've seen, and I keep seeing it all the time here in Canada too, people that stop when they're in the roundabout circle. Why are you stopping? You're in the circle. You're supposed to go, and you know what I mean? You're supposed to go, and then after you go, the next person's supposed to follow you, regardless of where they are in the circle. If you're in the circle, you have the right of way. You're supposed to continue until you exit. Yeah. But they will stop and almost have people run up in their back. So that's another thing.
Yeah, learning how to negotiate a roundabout. It's certainly something in North America that we're catching up with.
Yes.
Compared to, for example, Europe, because in Europe, roundabouts have been used for a much, much longer time than in North America. But, you know, the research supports the use of roundabouts. They're much safer than the traditional intersections because the speeds are lower and you don't have the possibility of running a red light anymore, right? So,
And I think, too, there's a certain alert that comes up in people's mind when they are facing a roundabout. Seriously, like, I think that's a part of the behavior. I think people take intersections for granted a lot of times, especially a lot of people that don't stop at their stop signs, right? It's a three-way stop. You have a stop. You're supposed to stop for 3 seconds, right? And they're fighting over who goes first. But our intersections, period, they take it for granted. But when it comes to roundabout, when they're approaching a roundabout, I see people get more alert. It seems like a thing, like they're telling themselves, "I'm approaching a roundabout now," but they still don't know how to use it because they're still stopping.
Yeah.
So that's funny. So you know that behavior there is funny. And then there's so much I could talk to you about. Some of the things I don't want to necessarily give away some ideas publicly, but there's one thing I'll tell. Because I think it's important. All of it is important, but this one here, you know, people think that because I'm hands-free, I'm not doing distracted driving. I have seen, and I see people driving, Mr. Van Nuys, and I mean, full-blown argument. They're arguing with their phone. And I'm thinking, it's hands-free, right? Of course, they're in the right, per se. But they're still distracted. There's no way you can be that engrossed in a conversation and be paying attention to the road. Cannot, you know? And so I think the hands-free thing is a myth. Unless we're able, and this was the idea, unless we're able to have it where when people are hands-free, if the volume or if the voice goes up in temperament or in like in the loud or faster, then it automatically shuts the device off or something, like something that can, you know, determine that either the voice is getting louder or angrier or talking faster. right? That means that the person is more engrossed in the conversation than actually driving this moving weapon that they're driving. I don't like the hands-free thing at all, period. But yeah. Since they have it, they think that, oh, it's free. Go ahead. I'm listening to you, sir.
Yeah, the research really, there's a lot of research done on this, and it clearly shows that talking on a cell phone hands-free is also distracting, especially mm-hmm. if you have these, elaborate conversations or discussions.
Right.
It's just simply the safest way to drive is by simply keeping your focus, your attention on the primary task at hand, which is the driving.
Exactly.
When you're talking, on the phone, whether it's with your hands or without your hands, it's a distraction that takes away from the driving task.
Exactly. And I see it all the time. And you know what else? Another wish that I have for Canada too, I really wish that all the provinces make the limit 0.05, if not zero, because 0.08, I think, is still too high. Because regardless of your tolerance, you could say you're tall, you're a muscle guy, all of this. Once your 0.08 is in your blood, I can see where you will underestimate the speed of a moving object towards you. You do underestimate it. So you find a lot of people end up getting T-boned, right? Because they're thinking that, oh, I can make it. And you really can't, because you're underestimating that speed. Regardless of how far that car that's coming towards you is, it's the speed that really matters too, right? Mm-hmm. So I really wish that in my lifetime, to be able to get all the provinces on a consensus that, the limit should be 0.05, so that's
but
my...
The good news in Canada is that we already have administrative limits that are at that level or lower. I believe in the province of Saskatchewan, the administrative limit is actually only 0.04. Having said that, there is a trend in North America, like in the United States, there are several states now that actually have gone, or one has gone down, Utah, from 0.08 to 0.05.
Yes. Yes.
And there's other states that are considering this now as well. So there is this trend that at a criminal level, this is changing as well. But for the longest time, even though the criminal level in Canada is 0.08, there is the administrative sanctions that come with that basically are attached to a limit, an administrative limit of 0.05 or even 0.04.
That's true. But then you have Quebec that's at 0.08, right? So
like the province of Quebec has a really good strong interlock program.
Yes, they do. Yeah. And you know what? There you go again. That's the European influence. That's the French influence. And I'm very happy they do have that. But they could still lower it. So that's right. But Mr. Vanner, thank you so much for your time today and for just spending your time with us and telling us all about TERF. Is there anything at all that you want to say to our listeners, that I didn't touch on? Anything at all? Go for it.
Well, I think we talked about a lot, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity that you gave me to share some of my experiences and giving us this venue to talk about the work that we do. So I hope that people will check out our blog and go take a peek at our website and perhaps even make a donation. It will certainly help us to reach our mission and to make the roads for all Canadians safer.
I will definitely. I will definitely share it from my Instagram and my LinkedIn as well. And I will help you with your fight because you're doing wonderful work. And I appreciate your time and I appreciate your work. And I appreciate all your support that you have at TERF.
Thank you so much.
We only carry the most reliable, highest quality breathalyzers and testers in North America and Europe. All our devices have the highest certification you'll find. They are FDA approved and TÜV certified. We don't carry good enough. We carry the best. It's a matter of pride and our company's identity. So head to notyourchild.com/driversafety and pick up some life-saving gifts or find them at some of your favorite wineries and watering holes. And if they don't have them, ask them to stock them. They could very well end up saving a life. And remember our golden rule. When you feel different, you drive different. Drive sober.
And yes, we have a request for our island song of the day. I'm telling you, people really like this segment and they're writing in. Here is a hit across the waters, a request from our friend Des Roy in Toronto, a huge song in England, a huge song in the islands, a big song in North America by Gyptian. Here is Hold You.
Sure. It's a very large one. Just another one. Yeah, just another. It's another. Welcome the girls, them sugar. The girl, them ladies, nigga, yeah. Welcome the girl, them sugar. The girl, them ladies, nigga, yeah. Welcome the girls, them sugar. The girl, them ladies, nigga, yeah. Welcome the girls, them sugar. The girl, them ladies, nigga. Excuse me, baby, but I will just have to tell you this. It's been a while, I'm admiring your tenderness. Your Coca-Cola bottle shape on all your cherry lips. Are you alone, me want to grab love up and then me kiss. I'm just addicted to you, but that's why me want to eat. I want to show you I'm a man that very romantic. Nothing got to me, see you now and you me want to sleep. The girl, them a sing this, but you me kick. Welcome the girls and sugar. The girl them did this nigga, yeah. Welcome the girls and sugar. The girls them did this nigga, yeah. Welcome the girls and sugar. The girl them did this nigga, yeah. Welcome the girls and sugar. The girl them did this nigga. One cup of water and three sour lime. You a John mine, me a Joe grind. You give her the money and me kill her with the wine. When you day a work, she there for your mind. But you day a shocking by gate at the time. Stop! Y'all write me and a call me and a tell me that. Remember that give me and just hit the jackpot. But to the style and the passion and the ways we got. Happy a young girl attack and them a sing. Welcome the girls, them sugar. The girls, them need this nigga, yeah. Welcome the girls, them sugar. The girls, them need this nigga, yeah. Welcome the girls, them sugar. The girls, them need this nigga, yeah. Welcome the girls, them sugar. The girls, them need this nigga, but y'all tell me they no business a who. Them want a man from the Roses crew. Y'all all tell me they no response is who. But you want a man from the Sunrise crew. But from a God bless, girl, tell them no test. You have your own man, girl, big up your chest. Some waiting and can't exhale yet. But me girl a bad a fret, and them a sing. Welcome the girls and sugar. The girl them need this nigga, yeah. Welcome the girls and sugar. The girl them need this nigga, yeah. Welcome the girls and sugar. The girl them need this nigga, yeah. Welcome the girls and sugar. The girl them need this nigga, but excuse me, baby, but I really don't have to tell you this. It's been a while, I'm admiring your tenderness. Your Coca-Cola bottle shape and all your cherry lips. Are you alone, me want to a couple of up and then the kiss. I want to show you I'm a man that very romantic. I know it's a very cheesy girl, that's why me never itch. Nothing got to me, see you now when you me want to sleep. Me girl, them a sing this, sing say. Welcome the girls and sugar. The girls them need this nigga, yeah. Welcome the girls and sugar. The girls them need this nigga, yeah. Welcome the girls and sugar. The girls them need this nigga, yeah. Welcome the girls and sugar. The girls them need this nigga, yeah. Dedicated to all my brother who know them a hardcore nigga. And up in the year you love Suzette and Paula. Man a baboon so the girl them all a set. Welcome the girls and sugar. The girl them need this nigga, yeah. Welcome the girls and sugar. The girl.
You'll be seeing Not Your Child at some of your favorite events, keeping the fun going, and with some awesome prizes while keeping our community safe with our devices and free breath tests. So if you have any questions about alcohol consumption or other alcohol-related questions, come by our booth, pick up some breathalyzers, or get a free breath test. All our techs are knowledgeable, friendly, and love to answer all your BRAC questions. Come over and say hi. See you soon.
And friends, you know we like to wind it all down for you with the quote of the day. And today's quote comes to us by Richard Feynman. And he said, "The first principle is that you must not fool yourself. And you are the easiest person to fool." I like that one. Let's hear that again. He says, "The first principle is that you must not fool yourself, and you are the easiest person to fool." End quote. And that comes to us by Richard Feynman.
Well, thanks for joining us today, friends, on the Not Your Child Road Safety Show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Remember, head to notyourchild.com/radio show to submit any questions, comments, or shout outs you want us to address on the next show. Until then, friends, I hope you continue having a lovely day. And remember our golden rule: when you feel different, you drive different. Drive sober. Ciao.